We live at a place where the Earth's tectonic plates meet in the Cascadia subduction zone, and that makes our region prone to large earthquakes. We can't predict when, but we can prepare ourselves for the aftermath of quakes and the tsunamis that often follow in the ocean. Oregon emergency managers are working many angles on preparedness. OEM recently put out a second comic book with Portland's Dark Horse Comics about what will happen in a disaster. Without Warning, Tsunami follows a similar comic about the arrival and aftermath of an earthquake. Two guests join us here. Althea Rizzo is the Geologic Hazards Coordinator at Oregon Emergency Management, OEM. Althea, welcome back to The Exchange.
Hey, happy to be here. Thank you.
Good to have you here. Chantel LaRoque joins us as well. She's the editor of this issue and an assistant editor at Dark Horse Comics. Hi, Chantel.
Hi.
Hi, Dad. So this is the second time around for Dark Horse collaborating with OEM. Can you talk about how these got started?
Yeah. So this is Althea. And several years ago, we were looking to produce a new publication that would appeal to a younger demographic. They're frequently hard to reach with our preparedness message. And, you know, when you think of young folks, you think of comic books. And when you think of comic books in Oregon, you think of Dark Horse Comics. So it was kind of a natural progression.
Althea, what have you done any, do you do much survey research to figure out how the messages are getting out to people and how they can be accessed?
Well, we saw with the first comic book, Earthquake, it just went out the door. We're actually almost going to be ready for a second printing of the Tsunami comic, so they're very well received.
Wow, a second printing already?
Very nearly. We only have a few more boxes left.
How many did you have printed in the first place?
We had about 20,000 printed of the English and 5,000 of the Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Chantel, give us a sense of Dark Horse and the work it usually does and how attractive a proposition this was when OEM approached.
Dark Horse generally does a lot of creator-owned work, but we do have an awesome custom department where things like Without Warning can come in and we'll work on them. For me, it was an absolutely wonderful opportunity. I love working on informational comics and educational comics, especially for younger readers. And it's just been an awesome experience to work with Oregon Emergency Management on this.
What's the real thrill there in the informational kinds of comics?
The thrill for me is we're getting to reach a wider, younger audience as giving them information that they need and also hopefully hooking them on comics so that we can continue as a business for the next 30 years.
Well, I was going to get into the issue of the demographics here because, as Althea pointed out, you're looking for trying to get younger people to embrace this message of what preparedness needs to be. But I know, certainly as a person who hasn't completely given up comic books myself, that you also have some older readers. Does Dark Horse tend to skew a bit younger than the old superhero comics, for example?
Actually, most of our demographic is older. It's fans who got into comics in the 80s and 90s. Mm-hmm. So we're working on introducing younger readers and widening our demographic.
Mm-hmm. How big, Althea, was the editorial team as you guys talked about approaches and scripts? I know you're listed as the primary writer here as the story creator, but with the writers beyond you as well. I mean, how much of this was done by committee and how much of this were you able to just kind of rumble on ahead by yourself?
Well, we developed the story concept so that we could make sure that the progression of the story shows the characters doing the right thing, and then we handed it over to the script writer and the artists who we trusted implicitly to come up with the script. And then it went back and forth with a small advisory board, folks from the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries and a few other people. But for the most part, the script writers and artists hit it right on the mark, pretty much right out the bat.
Chantel, the comic book doesn't seem to be terribly long, so things have to happen in a hurry. Give me some sense of what the length of Without Warning Tsunami is, and then how fast you had to establish the story to be able to make it understandable in the space you had.
So Without Warning Tsunami and Earthquake are both only 12-page long stories, so we have to set them up pretty quickly. Usually the earthquake or the tsunami will happen within the first couple of pages. So we introduce our characters, sort of see where they're at, learn a little bit about them, and then immediately it's right into the action so that we can devote the remaining pages to the preparedness and how to survive and be ready for these types of events.
Althea, as a person who wants to make sure that the message gets through about the hazards here, I mean, were there times you're thinking that they weren't being pronounced enough or maybe overpronounced? And at the same time, you've got the dialogue that surrounds all this. I mean, we have farts on the second page. So, so give us a sense of that part.
There was some internal discussion about the teenage level humor mm-hmm. in there, but we decided to keep it because, you know, that's what teenagers and young people react to. We didn't want to make the story so saccharine that it would be unbelievable. We wanted to, you know, give it a little bit of realism. And, you know, if you're a 14 to 15-year-old, fart jokes are sort of the thing.
Truly. And is that the age you're looking for? I mean, you're really trying to reach high school kids with this, Althea?
Middle school, high schoolers, young adults, old adults, anybody who loves comic books. It's just presenting the preparedness message in a new medium to reach people that don't come to our workshops or, you know, don't go to preparedness events. But this might give them a thought that, you know, maybe putting together a go kit might be a good thing, or learning a little bit more about preparedness or developing a communication plan with their family might be a good thing because they were exposed to it in this attractive way.
It is an attractive way. Without Warning, Tsunami is a comic book put out with the assistance of Dark Horse Comics in Portland, where Chantel LaRoque is the editor of this particular issue. Althea Rizzo is the Geologic Hazards Coordinator for Oregon Emergency Management. You can get in on this discussion on the Jefferson Exchange. 800-838-3760 is the phone number. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. And maybe you've got kids or grandkids who've already read the Without Warning Earthquake or Without Warning Tsunami. We'd like to hear from you as well about their reactions to it, if it's a treasured part of their collection. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Chantel, how similar is this to other projects you might have done trying to get important messages to younger readers?
This is actually very different from anything I've done. This is the most educational comic that I've been working on. A lot of the other things that I do are young adult or younger readers' books that are more entertaining and less informational.
Mm-hmm.
It's shorter. Most of our comics are about 22 pages or they're graphic novels. So it's sort of a fun little treat for me.
Let's talk about the artistic team here, the script by Jeremy Barlow, art and cover by David Hahn. What kinds of other projects have they worked on at Dark Horse?
Jeremy has worked on a few things. He's one of my go-to workers. Both Jeremy and David are local to Portland. I use them a lot on custom projects. They were the original team for Without Warning Earthquake as well, which is why I went back to them. They're just great to work with and very reliable.
There are some great moments in Without Warning Tsunami. The character, the only character I noticed who gets a name that we hear on a regular basis is Maddie, and she seems to be a teenager. Is that about right, Althea?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, and her mother's prepared for stuff. You know, she feels the earthquake. She says, "Get down." They're at the ocean, and so they're on high land, but they see the tsunami coming and are aware of what's going on there. But at one point, Maddie just turns to her mother and says, "How are you not freaking out?" That's a very real kind of thing, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why we want people to be prepared is, if you're not prepared, then you will get scared and perhaps freak out. But if you do get prepared, you can relax and enjoy the beautiful Oregon scenery and not worry about being prepared for an earthquake.
The story deals with, and it's a mother and her daughter who are just finishing up a camping trip at the Oregon coast when earthquake hits and tsunami follows. The pulsing of the tsunami that is indicated in the story. Tell us about the usual thing that happens when tsunamis do come on shore, Althea.
Sure. So tsunamis are not just a single wave. They're multiple waves that can be coming in every 15 to 20 minutes for 24 to 48 hours. Sometimes that tsunami energy is still out there in the ocean causing havoc 72 hours later. So it's really important for people to know that oftentimes the first wave is not the largest wave, and that they can build up over time to becoming much larger. So, you know, once that first wave recedes, you don't go down and look at the damage. You stay out of the inundation zone for at least 24 hours.
Yeah, and I noticed that in the issue there are three kayakers in the surf, and they notice their first indication that anything's going on is that they seem to be a lot farther from shore than they thought they were. If someone were to get caught out on the ocean in a tsunami, what should that person do?
If they're out on a boat already, head out to open ocean. For a local tsunami, you want to get to at least 100 fathoms. And in most places off the Oregon coast, that's not very far. So if you're out on the ocean, you don't want to go down to the beach and try to get into your boat and out to the ocean. But if you're already out there, you try to just to get to deep water as quickly as possible.
Okay, so on the ocean, head for deep water, not on the ocean, head for high land.
That's right.
Okay, there are some fine details here I want to talk about, Chantel. The fact that there's not a lot of shading in the artwork. I mean, comic books, the figures can look very grim and obviously muscular, and you get to superhero comics, which this isn't. Talk about the decisions that were made about the approach to the artwork and the dialogue and the depictions to try to make sure that things were not terribly scary.
One of the most important parts is we want to make sure that the storytelling is there and that it's very clear. Bright colors and not a lot of rendering or shading are a great way to make sure that all of the information and the details that are in the art are coming through and not getting lost in any black ink or dark colors. Most of the coloring choices were actually made by David Hahn, who draws it. We went with him partially because his style is so clear. It's something that younger readers can relate to. It's a style that I find most younger readers like better than the grittier, darker superhero comics. And it's a bit more realistic. So it's fun to look at, and it's brightly colored, which makes it a lot easier for people to take in the information on the page.
Althea Rizzo, how close was the monitoring along the way? I mean, did you get the pages as they were finished? Did you get the whole thing in one lump, one pile?
Yeah, they sent us pencils along the way as they completed the pages, and then we looked at it once they got the colorization done, and then, you know, sort of a last final look. So they were great partners all along the way.
Were there any particular tweaks along the way, things that you wanted to make sure got accentuated more or less, perhaps?
Well, we kind of emphasized that it was important for people to not go down into the bad zone, but Maddie's mom had to go down there to help the young man to get out of the area. So we kind of tweaked the language a little bit to emphasize that she knew that she was taking a risk to do so.
Maddie kind of represents us in the story when you think about it, because she's the one saying, "How are you not freaking out?" And she also says to her mom, "Hurry up and get back up here."
That's right. Maddie is a lot of us.
Indeed. We're talking to Althea Rizzo at Oregon Emergency Management and Chantel LaRocque at Dark Horse Comics about Without Warning, Tsunami, a comic book. Talk about the distribution of this. How did you and or Dark Horse put this out, Althea?
So we got them a few weeks ago, and we distributed them out to our local emergency management groups out in the counties and the cities, and so that when they do outreach, they can provide them to the public. But we also have some here that people can request through our website. We have a publications request link that they can go to the OEM website and request comic books. We've been sending a lot of them out to libraries around the state so that they can have them on site to share out with the kids. So that's a great way to get this into the hands of the kids, as many kids as possible. So that's been very exciting.
You mentioned a printing run of 20,000 the first time and probably getting to a second one. How many print runs did you have on the original version, the Without Warning Earthquake?
I think 20,000 was our original one, but I think we've done several reprintings since then.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the number right in front of me, but it's more than double than what the original print run was.
Okay. It doesn't stop with just the story, I should point out, too. I mean, both of the Without Warning issues deal with other material in the back. What kinds of other information have you offered there and checklists and things like that, Althea?
So we talk about what goes into an emergency kit. And one of the things I really like about the Without Warning is on the next to the last page there, we have the characters talking directly to the reader about things that they can do to become part of, you know, the preparedness efforts here in Oregon so that they maybe start to think a little bit beyond the kit. We know that we're going to be sort of on our own for at least 2 weeks after an event like this, and it's important for everyone to at least make an effort towards being self-sufficient for those 2 weeks. And I thought that having the character speak directly to the readers about this would be a very powerful message.
How would you gauge the overall level of preparedness for earthquake and tsunami in Oregon? I know I just read this morning about the Washington state managers highly critical of how prepared or unprepared Washington is in the light of the Cascadia Rising efforts over the summer. What do you think about Oregon's preparedness?
Well, I think that we're certainly much more prepared than we were 10 years ago. But we have a long way to go. And you have to remember that this is a new hazard for us. It's not like flooding. It's not like wildfire that we've known about for over 100 years. This is really a new hazard for us, so we have a lot of catching up to do. So we're getting there. It's going to take us some time, but we'll get there.
Chantel LaRoe, can you see future cooperations between Dark Horse and OEM? Are there plans on the table for them?
I would love to do more with them, and I'm sure we can come up with a lot of other things that we could work on, like wildfires or maybe volcanoes.
All kinds of things out there for disasters. All right, Chantel LaRoque is the editor of Without Warning Tsunami from Dark Horse Comics. Althea Rizzo is the Geologic Hazards Coordinator at Oregon Emergency Management. Thank you very much, both of you, for joining us today on The Exchange.
Thank you.
Good to have you. And Without Warning Tsunami is also available in PDF form online. There's a link to it at our website, jeffexchange.org.